Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and I'm really excited about today's conversation. Here's my question for you first. Are you ready? Have you grown kind of bored in your faith? Have you lost your sense of expectancy? Sometimes we lose our sense of expectancy because of expectation. And you've heard me say this on the show before if you listen often enough, but it was one of those game-changing conversations with my mentor years ago. She said, Susie, she said, expectation is premeditated disappointment. It's like we decide ahead of time what God is supposed to do. We fix a puny little box and say, God, if you're faithful, you'll come through for me this way. And when he doesn't, because he will not be bound by our formulas and our dictates, we lose expectancy. But she said, expectancy says that there's a mystery to following God, that he's bigger than our puny boxes. And oftentimes when we have disappointment, when God hasn't come through for us, we lose any sense of expectancy. And so we stop even looking up and wondering about things. But expectancy says, you know what? There's a mystery to following God. And any day now, he may just break through because he's up to something that I cannot see. His ways are not my ways. So have you given up a sense of expectancy? Well, my guest this hour says, as life starts to pile up, our hope is often extinguished and we exchange curiosity for control. Have you exchanged curiosity for control? I want you to think about that. If it sounds like you, you must know you're not alone. Author Logan Wolfram joins me today to unpack how a little curiosity can help us rediscover the God of possibility. In fact, she says, blessed are the curious, for they shall uncover possibility every single day. We'll get her on in just a moment. Just a quick announcement. If you're traveling this summer, take us with you. We now have a new Faith Radio app. You can live stream the shows from wherever you are or catch the podcast later. You'll find it in the App Store or in Google Play. So check us out. You can search Faith Radio Network and you'll find us that way. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Logan Wolfram is a writer, speaker, and host of the Alum Conference. She's a passionate leader who desires to see women live fully in Christ. She and her husband, Jeremy, divide their time between wrangling two curious boys and a 175-pound dog named Titan, aptly titled Titan. I love it. They live in Greenville, South Carolina. Logan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm glad to be here. I have to tell you, as I was listening, I heard your weather report, and I'm feeling a little bit jealous because in South Carolina, it's been like 100 degrees, and there it said it was going to be 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling really curious about where you're at right now.
We're broadcasting out of Minnesota, but I will tell you, I have weather envy around the Carolinas, you know, 9 months out of the year because, you know, our winters are earth-shattering.
Yes,
So you come visit us now in this season, and we'll come visit you in the winter months. How about that?
We can do a house swap.
I love it. Absolutely. When it gets to be 30 below, you'll be calling me, I'm telling you. Oh, well.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to join you today.
Well, as I told you before the show, this book, Curious Faith, so brilliantly written, and your authentic transparency and your content. I love this book, so I'm super excited to talk about it. And Logan, we start every conversation every single day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's just a passage of scripture, either a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Well, you know, I knew that you did that, and so I've just been asking the Lord, what is the one, you know, that I'm supposed to share? And I just kept feeling like he pointed me back to one that has been something to me for a really long time, and most of my life, long before I even went on this journey of curious faith or even knew to call it that. But it's Philippians 3, it's 13 and 14, and it says, Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I think that that's so much for me. Has been kind of what this journey of curious faith is. It's pressing forward and realizing that walking by faith and not by sight means it's not about looking behind us. And it's not even about expecting or knowing that we have to see where we're going right now, but really just trusting the Lord to know that we can press forward into Him because He is good and He loves us, and the places that He's going to take us is heavenward for the call of the Lord. So,
boy, that's so good. That's so good. And, you know, you can see how when you have enough past hurts and you're walking through a present hurt, you can connect the dots and draw a wrong conclusion about God. And there's something about reconciling some of those past things so you can stay in the grace in the present moment. And would love, Logan, if you don't mind, give us a little bit of your backstory of just some of those things that were landmarkers for you that you really had to sort through to get a fresh perspective of who God is.
Okay, well, I think one of the biggest things, you know, I grew up in going to church, going to youth group, and I think, as I said, in curious faith, I had a really tidy faith and a tidy God. I could pretty much expect, you know, this behavior plus this behavior equals this behavior, and so I kind of knew, like, how life went, and, you know, then you grow up and you realize that your parents aren't, in fact, the cleavers, that there is, in fact, difficulty in your family, that the world is a hard place to live, and that the enemy does not want to see followers of Christ doing great things for the kingdom. And so the first time that I feel like I just got really punched in the gut and felt like I didn't know who I was. We'd been through kind of a hard period of a lot of transition in the church that we were attending at the time. And then as we were kind of dealing with all of that, as some of those things began to come to sort of a head and a close at the same time for our family, I became pregnant with our second child, and that baby died at 12 weeks. And so I went in for just a routine ultrasound and to hear the baby's heartbeat, and there just wasn't one. And I will never forget my OB looking at me, and she just, through tears in her eyes, said, "Sweetie, this has happened within the last 24 hours. I mean, it was at 12 weeks. And I just remember having kind of the wind knocked out of me. At that time, I didn't know anyone who had ever lost a baby before, and or if I did, no one was ever talking about it. And so here I was, just kind of alone and, you know, afraid. And then I had to have a DNC, which was just a really hard thing for me to reconcile. And I felt like, I wrote in Curious Faith, I felt like a piece of furniture that had, you know, all these different levels of varnish or whatever on it, and that something had just poured this stripping agent on me and just scraped me bare. And so I really came to this point where I was like, I lost a baby. And then I went on over the course of the next several years, I lost four total. And every time I felt like, you know, I had to figure out, Lord, are you good? God, are you for me? And hello, are you there? You know, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. You know, like, I'm here. And are you? And I remember writing at one point, I feel like if I'm in the shadow of your wing, that somehow there's a hole right over where I am, and I am getting burnt. And so it really set me on this journey to realize, like, I had to figure out, what is this faith that I have? Is God really good? Is He really who He says He is? And so that was really kind of what started it. And then, you know, as you begin to walk in these things and pursue the Lord and pursue the things that He has, you know, I think I've come to sort of realize, well, there's just going to be more junk. You know, you know, like my mom said at one point, like, oh, you know, I think there's still things for you to learn from your own book. And I was like, I think so. You know, I don't think that we ever actually arrive at some, like, glorious perfection of understanding until the Lord has completed His work in us, because we are there with Him in heaven. You know, so I think for me, so much of this has been about seeing the Lord's faithfulness and testimony of what does it look like to get into this? What does it look like to follow God, even in the midst of all of the hard stuff?
Don't you feel too, Logan? I've seen this time and time again, not only in my own life and just other people that I've walked with and interviewed. When you're walking through one of those valleys of the shadow, it seems there's more loss than gain. Oftentimes, too, our own identity is tested by some other aspect of a person's assessment of us, and we're so raw anyway. I thought it was so interesting because around that time, and you handled this so well in the book, but you felt it was just time to leave this church you'd attended of 11 years, and you explained how, though God was leading you, others interpreted it as an indictment on their own faith because you were leaving, and obviously it triggered an insecurity in them. How did you process the layers of that kind of a loss while you're already still feeling kind of raw?
I mean, I cried a lot.
Yeah. That works.
I was just a hot mess there for a while. I think I probably still am. But, I mean, I did. I cried a lot. There was just this deep grief of loss. You know, I lost a baby. We lost our church community. And it was people that I loved and still love. Even last week, I ran into a gal that I'd been in the playgroup with and Bible studies and things for years. And we hadn't hung out in forever to the point where our oldest kids were 10 and didn't even remember each other. And I said, let's just hang out. And she came over and did a lemonade stand. You know, like there are times in your life when you lose people, you lose, even when you don't want to or you don't mean to. And I think leaving a church, so many people, you know, you hear about people leaving the church and then not ever going back. And I think we forget sometimes when we're in proximity with people, you know, even if you're having this touch point of like, hey, you know, so good to see you. I heard about this. And it's just walking through to get to your seat in the sanctuary. There's those touch points with people and you're connected through that, you know, and all of a sudden you leave and then there's none of those things anymore. You're not seeing people at Bible study and children's church drop off and, you know, all these things. And so there really was this huge sense of loss during that time. And I just remember saying, like, Lord, I mean, I was lonely. And I remember telling my husband, I don't even know why anyone would like me right now because I just feel such a mess. I just feel like I'm a weepy, weepy disaster trying to figure this out. And so I really think in that place where we can just come before the Lord and say, put this back together. You know, he does.
He does.
He does.
And that's what we're going to talk about, picking up Logan's story on the other side, about how she encountered a curious awakening one cold February night where God revealed himself and his heart to her. What does it mean to have curious faith? And how do you rediscover hope in the God of possibility? We'll talk more with Logan Wolfram about that on the other side. You're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Logan Wolfram. She's written the book, Curious Faith, Rediscovering Hope in the God of Possibility. Really a fantastic book. We've got 5 copies from their generous publisher. Love to get you in the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your name and your mailing address. Put Curious Faith somewhere in the body of the email. If you're in a place where you just feel like you've had more disappointment than divine appointment, just more being underwhelmed by life than overwhelmed by God's goodness, this book will encourage you and inspire you. Email me. In on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Again, don't forget your mailing address and put Curious Faith in the subject line as well. All right, tell me about this curious awakening you had, Logan, one February night.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I had mentioned a little bit ago that we lost a baby, and that was in November of 2007. And I remember that following February, I was standing by the back window of my house. I was just cleaning off the counter from dinner. And I remember that I looked outside and I noticed a lunar eclipse. One thing I do need to tell you before I even tell you that is right after I lost my baby, I had a friend who was pregnant and she found out that her baby had a fatal diagnosis. She was 8 weeks ahead of me. And so so right after I lost my baby, I mean, that week we began walking with some really dear friends at the time who were pregnant with this fatal diagnosis. And so so anyways, roll all the way to the February where I looked out the window. I'm cleaning off dinner and there's this lunar eclipse. And I mean, I've seen them before, you know, but I just remember kind of leaning against the door and looking at it. And it was the, it was just glowing orange. It looked three-dimensional. And I felt in my spirit, like the Lord just said, did you see that? And I thought, well, see what? And it was like, he said, I just covered the moon. And I just remember standing there and thinking, he just covered the moon. Makes me teary every time. It doesn't matter how many times I see it. And I felt like he said, I just covered the moon. How much smaller to heal a baby. And wow. And then I called my friend Emily, which I cannot to this day. I still think I was either like wildly having crazy faith or I was a total jerk because I called her and I said, Emily, look outside. God just covered the moon. And she said, what? And I said, I think your baby is going to live. And I just had never had that kind of faith. I was not, I mean, you know, we believe in God who parts seas and we believe in God who feeds 5,000, but like, we just don't think that he's doing those things today, mm-hmm. I think. And so something in me, it was like, it just broke free. You know, you think in your life and there are certain times that you just remember something like clicking on. In that moment for me, I mean, it was just, God just covered the moon. And so, and how much more can he do? It just, to realize that the God who cares about us individually is like conducting this planetary orchestra is just kind of mind blowing, I think.
So what happened with Emily's baby?
He's alive. he's alive. He was born with like a form of dwarfism, and the reason they didn't think he was going to live, there's only like 8 recorded cases in history, but he is, let's see here, in March, I guess he turned 8.
Wow.
So he's got a form of dwarfism, so he's got, you know, some disability and stuff, but I mean, fully cognizant, like great kid, and yeah, so he totally, yeah.
You know what? I've been catching myself when I hear some of these amazing stories, I say unbelievable. And I have to find a new word because I'm a believer and I'm supposed to believe this stuff. I got to find a new word.
It's so true. And I just think over and over, like, why am I surprised when God does something awesome?
Yeah.
Like, why am I so shocked every time? Like, I'm so glad that he just said, you've only got to have a mustard seed. But I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm just scraping to get the mustard seed, you know, like what is wrong? When he's doing these things and we're seeing God do great and mighty things, and it's like I just forget the next day or something. I don't know. So.
Well, I appreciate your honesty because I know you speak for so many of us. In fact, this, I think you capture it so well. You said if God's power doesn't address what we want, then somewhere along the line, we decide that maybe it isn't actually real. Before long, we live our lives from a place where we expect everything to be limited. What's a life look like that expects everything to be limited?
I mean, I think it probably looks pretty depressing.
Yeah, small and controlled,
if you're
for sure.
Expecting everything to be limited. I think, you know, we're not excited. I mean, what do you have to look forward to if you think just everything you step into is just going to end with like, womp, womp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we don't expect the best out of other people. We don't believe that good things can be for us. We're waiting for the shoe to drop on every single thing that we do. When we can't believe that there's this great, good God who loves us that has this possibility for us, I think we begin to live with such a limited perspective, and then fear defines the way that we're moving forward. I think we don't want to say, oh, it's fear, but it totally is, because we're afraid of believing something is good for us, which means that really what we're afraid of is that something bad, you know, is waiting for us too. And so I think we begin to be defined by fear instead of curiosity and instead of faith to follow what God has for us.
Does fear keep us back because we also don't want to be disappointed? It's almost like we keep ourselves in a perpetual state of disappointment because we don't want further disappointment.
I mean, I think so. I think anyone who would say otherwise is lying.
Yeah.
sorry if you say otherwise. Time for some examination. But I do. I mean, I think so many things that we are afraid of. We're afraid of failing, and we're afraid of messing something up. We're afraid of messing our kids up or messing our marriage up. Or, I mean, and I just continue to think, like, God came for the messy people. Like, he came to step into this messy space with us. And so I just began to realize a few years ago that I was more curious about what God could do than I was afraid of what he might not do, you know. And but I think that there are legitimately really hard and terrible things that happen in our lives. And I wrote about it in Curious Faith about when we carry heavy things. One of my best friends died several years ago, and we walked through just this horrific cancer diagnosis with her. She was 40. She had 3 kids, 7 and under. I mean, it was just horrible. And so how do we carry those things? How do we move forward in faith? And I remember one day just kind of coming before the Lord and saying, what if all the bad things that I'm afraid of happened to me? Like, what if they did? And I remember just feeling like the Lord said, well, I'd still be here. You know, I'm still the God who covers moons. I'm still that same God. And I am called Redeemer because I flip things on their head and I bring things back to life. And so so that's when I think I got more curious, is when I realized that the broken things didn't tear me to shreds. They tore me up for a while, but the Lord will put me back together. And so I think that there's hope in that, in knowing that he is the God of possibility and of putting things back together.
I want to repeat that again. I learned that the broken things in my life didn't tear me to shreds. They tore me up for a while, but they didn't destroy me. Is that what you said?
Yeah, something
so
like
good.
That. Sometimes I say things, and then someone says it back later, and I think, wow, that was really a clever thing to say. We should tweet myself then.
I'm kind of amazing.
I was talking with a friend today, and I said, we've been talking about, you know, people talking about discovering themselves and all of these things. And I said, gosh, you know what, if I find myself and lose God in the process, I'm certain that I've found nothing and lost everything. And and I think that that's the curious faith is, it's finding God. And in him, I find myself. I find my identity. And in that space, I mean, what's not to be curious about, you know, when that becomes the definer of your faith, the bottom of everything?
Boy, good stuff. Talking to Logan Wolfram, author of the book Curious Faith, Rediscovering Hope in the God of Possibility. And that kind of snarky, fun little humor you hear in her, you see it in her book as well. It's just this mixture of moments where I laughed out loud and other moments I was drawn absolutely in. Love for you to have a copy of this great summer reading. I'm telling you, it'll draw you deeper. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your name, mailing address, and put Curious Faith somewhere in that email. Your name will go in a drawing. 5 of you will get a copy. More with Logan when we return. Tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Logan Wolfram. She is the author of the book Curious Faith, Rediscovering Hope in the God of Possibility. Listen to what she writes. So we take our messes and our mountainsides and ask God to make them a beautiful journey. I believe that just as he makes the deadened trees of winter teem with the newness of springs, he can do the same in our lives. He can take rocky bottom places and bring hope, and the broken can be made whole. He can take our doubts and speak life to them. And somewhere in the midst of it all, instead of just standing in awe, looking at the beauty God creates, we begin to move in curiosity to inhabit that same kind of beauty ourselves. And Logan, I'm just thinking, it's especially difficult to walk through a winter season of life in the summertime, because it's the summertime, everybody else seems to be getting replenished, they're getting tan, you know, they're belly laughing and enjoying lemonade stands, and you feel like, you know, that things are dead in your life, or you're just wondering how long the season will last. What word of encouragement do you have for that person walking through such a season?
I mean, hang on.
Yeah.
Because it's going to turn up.
Yeah, that's right.
It just will. And, you know, I think so often we forget that life goes in seasons. And I think in his kindness, the Lord changes the seasons. You know, as we were joking at the beginning of the show about how you've got crazy winters there and we've got super hot summers here in South Carolina. And I think that so often we forget that life goes that way, that mm-hmm. life goes with the seasons. And I'm so sorry, my phone is beeping right now and I'm mortified. I'm ready. I don't know how to turn it off without making it work.
It's okay.
So sorry, I'm having a moment of that right now. Panic is so fast. I feel like I've lost my panicking inside. But I do think that we forget that life goes in seasons, that there are winter, summer, spring, fall, rinse, repeat, you know, that mm-hmm. it goes in seasons. And so hang on to where the Lord has you right now, and find him, because he hasn't left. He has not abandoned you in this season of wilderness. And I love to think about just the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, when they left Egypt and the Lord took them into the wilderness for a period of time. And I love to think, you know, they knew that they were following the Lord as they exited Egypt, because there was a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And so I read, I think it's in Exodus 14, but it talks about how the way that they went to exit Egypt, it actually was the longer way. And the reason that they didn't go the shorter way was because it went through the Philistine camp, where there was like war. And the Lord knew that if they went that way, that the people would be afraid and turn back and try to go back to Egypt. And so they followed God in this way that was longer, this way through the wilderness, where they had manna and, you know, all of this other stuff. And Moses is hitting rocks to get water because they're thirsty. And at some point they come, as they know that they've been following God all along, and they're standing at the edge of a Red Sea. And I cannot imagine that in that moment they didn't think, but I thought I was following you. And here we've been living in Egypt, and we're not big swimmers, God. You know, like, why have you brought us to this place? And at that moment, the Lord takes the presence of God from ahead of them, which has led them to that point, and he comes behind them. Moses parts the Red Sea, and they follow through with the presence of the Lord coming behind them, and he seals up the sea. And so I just think if you're in that season right now of wilderness, to know that God has not left you, he's been with you the whole time. And not only that, but he will come behind and he will seal up that work. And I think so often in that place where we're standing at the edge of the sea, we think, well, great, I'm so glad I followed you here, and now what, you know? And that's the very place that the Lord wants to part something ahead of us, that he wants to do something miraculous in our lives, if we'll be curious enough to trust that he does have that for us.
Wait, so, just read that this morning.
That's what I would say to those.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic. I just read that this morning, so I love how you unpack that. And you think about, you know, as the Israelites are miraculously provided for, and then they go to grumbling. I mean, they forget. And I imagine, you know, like when I stress out my husband, he rubs his temples. He does this thing where he kind of rubs his temples. Like I go, oh, I'm stressing you out again, aren't I? I picture God rubbing his temples when we grumble, because he promises and promises, and he's there, and his mercies are there, and we're so short-sighted. And then his grace, you know, overtakes us. It's absolutely amazing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably like, how did you forget? I just did this thing for you like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And we're back here again, you know? Come on. But I think, you know, I've got two little boys. And so often I'm like, how are we back here again 10 minutes later?
Yeah. You know?
But, I mean, the Lord has gotten to feel that way with us. Mm-hmm. All the time, but such a more patient parent than I am.
Well,
he's just a better parent.
And, you know, he gently leads those with the young. I mean, he's so gracious and so kind. And here's another excerpt I would love for you to comment on from your book, Curious Faith. Our God is king of the comeback. No matter what, no matter how hard the winds of life try to blow you down, or whether depths reach out to drown you, there is redemption. The nature of God, his goodness, and his entire plan for the earth are for a comeback. I love that. Christ's resurrection more than 2,000 years ago means that you can rise again now. I would love for you just to bring us to a couple of spots in your life where you felt like you're at the Red Sea, the end of story, the period's at the end of the sentence, and then God made a way where there was no way, so that you could write this statement to say that he is the God of the comeback.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he just is. But one thing I will say about that, and even in my own life, you know, and I shared that I've lost several pregnancies, and that has been a devastating and difficult thing to walk through. But there's been plenty of other hard things too, you know. But I think so often when something is broken and we ask the Lord to redeem it, we need to realize that in our minds and in our finite understanding of things, he's not necessarily going to always put something back together in the same way in which it was broken. So, you know, so I've lost 4 babies. I've had 2 children, but I have not gone on to have lots more kids now. And, you know, I can't have more kids at this point. And so, so the Lord has not restored that portion of my life from those losses by just handing me a bunch more kids, you know, in the same way, like we see Job lost all his family. Well, then he had more family, you know, so it doesn't necessarily mean that what was taken, you get back in the same way. So I think part of having a curious faith is, Lord, what is the abundance that you're going to speak back into my life, or that the Lord will redeem what the locusts have taken? It doesn't mean that your crops look the same. Like maybe you planted tomatoes and the locusts ate all of your tomatoes and God gives you corn the next go around. Are we able to see the corn, or are we still grieving our tomatoes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, so I think so often that part of learning to recognize that God is king of the comeback, which means that as people of God, we are people of the comeback. We are people of redemption, that there is something good that God can do from those places. And so, like, for me, something huge, it wasn't until I lost my first baby that I had a huge heart for women. And so through that, like, I didn't know I was going to write a book or have a ministry with women, or I liked teenagers, you know, they seemed sort of complicated and simple all at one time. But women just seemed too much for me. And so when the Lord had me walk through some of these different things, I mean, he birthed in me a deep passion for loving women. And so, and being able to walk with women through seasons of life and in marriage and in raising children, and gosh, we don't have it all figured out, you know, but there's something so beautiful about the way that he has turned my heart towards different things from walking through some of the hard things that I have. And so now I feel like, I mean, I've got people that will call me from all over when they're walking through a loss, because I get that, you know, I understand that loss. And so I think that there's something beautiful that we forget in our own stories of knowing, like, I walked through this and it was horrid and I was a mess. But I'm okay now, and you will be too. Like, we can sit here together in this space. And so I think that there's something beautiful in authority that God gives us, and a power of testimony of what he has done in our lives, yeah, to be able to walk hand in hand. And that's what the body of Christ is for, you know? So I think in so many ways that there are comebacks over and over and over for us in those ways, just by even saying tiny yeses to him along the way, you know, and seeing what he can uncover for us.
So, yeah. That's so good. We do. Yeah, very much, very much. And it's like we reoccupy a territory that the enemy tried to steal. And I like that you said it's often not going to look like we thought, but still we're getting back the land, yeah. so to speak, because he's threatening constantly to steal the land from us and whatever that is, a dream for family or ministry or whatever. But we reoccupy that place where we say, this far no more. And there is a holy confidence, I think, that comes out of rising again and issuing a comeback. And I think it's very, very powerful. When you think about your curious faith, have there been questions, curiosities that you've pressed in with the Lord that he's actually surprised you with the answer?
Oh, gosh. That's like a really big question. I feel like I should chew on that for a
Call me back later.
I'll be joining Susie again next week. So you like how I just re-invited myself?
Yes, absolutely.
No, I think one thing that in my curiosity in places that I've been really surprised, there's something that I talk about in the book called Praying the Opposite. And I bring it up at this juncture because I think so often there's something that the enemy's trying to do against us, and we feel stuck. We feel like we're afraid, or maybe we are, afraid is the one that really comes to me actually right now. But when we're afraid of something, because so often I think fear is such a huge reason why we don't do things. But how do we even overcome that? How do we overcome fear, or how do we overcome when we are not believing what God says about us is true, if we're struggling with identity or whatever? And so so over and over, God has surprised me with who he is and what he says about me when I am able to isolate down a certain circumstance. So imagine that you feel like God is calling your family maybe to a move or something. Or I remember several years ago, my husband was going to take a new job, and I was kind of freaked out about it because we had this good security thing sort of going, and he got every other Friday off, which was also kind of awesome. And so when he started talking about, you know, taking this new job, I remember being like, no, I feel like things are good right now. And I realized that at the root of that was fear. And so I started just praying to like, okay, Lord, what do you say about fear? So I started looking up fear everywhere I could in the Bible. I just like broke out my concordance and started looking it up. And seeing that the Bible says, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. Like there is no fear in Christ. Like in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And so I started reading all of these things of what the Bible says about fear. And then I thought, well, what is the opposite of that? Because I don't want to be spending all of my time around the work of the enemy. I want to cut that off with the truth of God. And then I want to move forward in the benefits of heaven, because as citizens of the kingdom, we are entitled to its benefits. And so the benefits of heaven are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, you know. And so, but I realized, well, the opposite of fear is courage. So then I looked up courage all throughout the scriptures and was finding things like, be strong and let your heart take courage if you're waiting on the Lord, and I'll mount up on wings like eagles, and, you know, all of these things. And so I began to speak those truths over my life, and I do it to this day in just about anything, is I'll narrow down the work that I think that the enemy's trying to do, and I figure if the enemy's going to try and create all these yucky things in our lives, like, what better thing to do than to turn it on its head and use his very work against him? And so when we can search the scriptures for the things he's trying to do, pray the blessing of heaven over it, I feel like over and over and over, that makes me more curious about what God has for me, because I am able to see the truth of who I am, what God says, how we apply it to this situation. And I think that there is like an authority and a truth that we can walk in, and a confidence and a hope, because we're not allowing the work of the enemy to define the way that we're moving forward.
Boy, good stuff. When we come back, and maybe this is a part of what you mean about, you referenced this idea of praying in the opposite way, specifically as it relates to our identity. And again, that's one of those core issues. If we don't know or believe who we are, it'll drive so differently how we show up in life, in our dreams, in our relationships. Talking to Logan Wolfram, title of her book, Curious Faith, Rediscovering Hope in the God of Possibility. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put Curious Faith in the email somewhere, and you'll get in the drawing. Five of you will get a copy showing up in your mailbox sometime next week. Don't go away. More with Logan in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Logan Wolfram today. I love her writing. I love her humor and her heart. Title of her book, Curious Faith, Rediscovering Hope in the God of Possibility. And you talked in the book about praying in the opposite way. And if I remember right, it was connected especially to just the enemy attacks on your identity. And prior to the break, you said something so interesting that you're learning when the enemy comes against you to find scripture for his strategy so you can pray blessing, because we have authority in Christ. The promises of God are yes and amen. And so you're learning to stand and pray blessing over the very thing that the enemy is threatening to steal from you. Link that to our identity and talk about this praying in the opposite way. Maybe that is what you mean.
Yeah, it is. And I think when I first started, when I first learned about it, it was in the context of like a prayer team class that I was taking. And they were just talking about, you know, when someone is struggling with something, that so often we give the enemy too much credit, mm-hmm. you know, that we spend too much time praying against whatever he's doing. And I think what we can do instead of just saying, you know, I feel confused, I feel overwhelmed, I'm lonely, I'm depressed, whatever, that instead of just saying like, Lord, you know, take away depression, and that we can say, Lord, give me joy, you know, that we can speak these things, I think, into our lives. But when it comes to like who we are, and the enemy will whisper these things, you don't matter, you know, you're too loud, you're too quiet, you know, that there's these things about who we are and who we believe other people think that we are, that the enemy is just whispering, you know, in our ear. And so I think that when we can isolate what it is that we're hearing, if we're feeling, you know, maybe we're feeling insignificant, and so we can find our significance in the scriptures. And we can say, like, in the name of Jesus, I'm not insignificant, because he's numbered even the hairs on my head. And so I think that what we can do is we're able to just cut off that thing that he's mm-hmm. saying about us, and we're able to call it the lie from the pit of hell that it is. And then we speak the truth about what God says, and over and over and over in the scriptures, God talks about how much he loves us and how he cares for us even more than the sparrows, and that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's going to worry about itself. You know, that there are these things that we allow to consume us that scripture just absolutely refutes. And so in praying the opposites, it's when we hear a lie about ourselves or a circumstance that we're dealing with, if we can give it a word or two, and I think even the yucky words, because in our sinful nature, so often we can think of the thing to complain about mm-hmm. faster than we can think about the thing to celebrate, you know. And so I think when we're able to do that and we're able to isolate it, then we are immediately able to think of the opposite. And if you're having trouble, like, you know, antonym.com, I think is probably a thing.
Perfect.
And so I think it might be. I don't really know. But the mm-hmm. point is, come up with the exact opposite of something and realize that the opposite, the benefit, the beautiful thing, that is for you in Christ, because he came to redeem and restore and call you chosen and beautiful. And so then we're able to just focus on those things, I think, instead.
Boy,
and
that's
really kind of a game changer.
It is a game changer, and it's great strategy, Logan, because so often we live with either a low level of misery or a significant level of misery just because we're living with a lie. He sits and walks by us and spews, and we're just like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I mean, we have a kind of an ongoing conversation where we need to stop, face it down, deal with it. And I think the idea of dealing with it is to pray the opposite way, saying, okay, he's a liar. So God, what are you saying that's true to me? And that's what sets us free, is the truth, right?
And I think that's how we walk in truth too.
Yeah.
So often we think we're combating a lie, but we're actually just like sitting in the lie more, you know, mm-hmm. we're like, Lord, you know, when I feel so sad and I'm so depressed, when we spend all that negative energy on the negative things, it is so much more effective to just cut that off, you know, in the name of Jesus who came and died for my sins and my gunk, like the gunk be gone, you know? And so like bring in those benefits, bring in the peace and the patience and the kindness and speaking those things over ourselves. It's much more forward movement to begin walking in something that is a blessing, and especially even with other people that are trying or difficult or whatever, when we begin speaking those blessings over them instead of, you know, Lord, help Patty Prideful not be so heinous anymore. I think that it's so much easier to pray for, like, just gentleness and humility over someone. It's so much more healthy. We're not, like, stewing in our own junk about something. And so I think it helps move us beyond.
Boy, that's really good. We've got about 2 minutes or so before it's time to wrap and pray, but I wonder if you would talk about what's in the chapter where you address the illusion of control. Because, again, I think the control that we try so hard to have is where tidy faith lives. And yet, if we really want to experience the adventure of God, we've got to give up that illusion. So speak about that, if you would.
I really think so often, you know, we want things to go the way that we want them to go, and we like to be in charge. We like to know where we're heading. But the thing is that we can't be curious about something that we control, for one. And for two, if we trust that God is good and that he is for us and that his plans are higher than our plans, then what it also means is when I'm trying to control things, I am minimizing the capacity of God to move in big ways in my life. I'm actually getting in the way of the things that he wants to do. And so I think, you know, we think that we control things sometimes, and then something happens out of our control and we realize we control nothing. And so it really is an illusion, because we have an enemy in this world and he is coming against us. And so I think when we think, oh, we've got all this under control, we don't. We don't. Anyone who's ever had our power went out last night, and I had no control over that, you know? I mean, there's so many different millions of things in your life that don't go the way that you thought. And so when we hold on to that so tightly, I think that we stand in the way of God doing a mighty work in our lives. So I think that is something that has been really big for me to realize, too, is that there is greater possibility when I trust God's possibility for my life instead of my own plan. And so I do want to mention, Susie, if I can really quickly, there is a study guide in the back of this book. I really wanted for women to be able to be in community. That's something that's important to me. And so we put a study guide in the book so that busy people don't have to run out and go and buy a whole other thing. And then also there's videos that are meant to accompany. We divided it so it could be an 8-week study on my website, loganwolfram.com. There's free videos. All you got to do is sign in your email address, and there's videos that go along. They're about, I think, 5 to 10 minutes each one to do in a group or to study on your own as well, to dig in a little bit deeper. So,
well, I appreciate that. And I want to rephrase restate what she said. When I'm trying to control things, I'm actually minimizing God's influence in my life. I want you to think about that. Whatever you're trying to control, what if you stop striving to better know that he is God and opened up the possibility of what God could do in your life? And Logan, wondering if you pray for that person today who realizes they've been white-knuckling their circumstances because they're so afraid of losing control. Would you pray?
Yeah, absolutely. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we say that you are the God who orchestrates the heavens. God, you are the God who covers moons, who parts seas, who goes ahead of us and comes behind us. And so, Lord, in the places where we try to hold too tightly to our own idea of the way that things are, open our hand in your gentleness and in your kindness. Pour your love out over us, the identity of who we are in you, chosen, God, loved, cared for. And so, Father, that for the listener who is not feeling that from you today, God, I pray that those truths would seep in, Lord, that they would gently open their hand, that they would be curious about what you have for them, God, because it is good. You want to surprise them. You want to redeem the broken things, God, and you want to give them a hope and a future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Logan, I just love you. Thank you for this time today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
You should probably answer that other call now. I'm totally kidding. Title of Logan's book is Curious Faith, Rediscovering Hope in the God of Possibility. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. When you get up there, if you would, sign up for the Live Free Challenge. We are trying to log miles in this month of August to put an end to human trafficking. All the information's up on our website, myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.